Well, I don't think you can appreciate the connections between Barbie and our values as a congregation, the sacred teaching of Unitarian Universalism, unless I tell you a little bit of the plot. You know, if you haven't seen the movie, you're not going to quite follow. So let me fill you in a little bit, and I'll try to be fairly spoiler-free. So the idea of Barbie is that Barbie Land is a place where the Barbies rule. There are lots of Barbies, as you know, if you know anything about the doll Barbie. There's Dr. Barbie, there's Pilot Barbie, there's Astronaut Barbie, there's Stereotypical Barbie, who's just sort of the Barbie you think of when somebody says, think of a Barbie, as she says. And that's our hero. That's who we see the most. But she has all these friends who are all Barbies, all living in their dream houses in Barbie Land. And of course, if you know Barbie, also in Barbie Land, there's Ken. There are lots of Kens. They look lots of different ways, but they're kind of all the same guy. They don't get along too well. They're rivals. Interesting. We'll get back to that. But there's Ken. Now, as the narrator informs us, long ago, there were just baby dolls for little girls to play with. And so the baby dolls kind of really only suggest one thing to play, taking care of babies. So when you have a baby doll, you are practicing being a mother. And then the story goes, along came Barbie. This is not working? Are you not hearing me? Paul's saying no, but other people are saying yes. Maybe you're just picking me up from here. Better? Sorry. Go see the first 10 minutes of Barbie. So as Barbara's poem, and maybe your memories will inform you, that was a little simplistic. There were certainly non-baby doll dolls before Barbie. But Barbie was big. And what Barbie said to little girls is, wow, you know, this is a woman you're playing with. This is a woman, and when you're playing with her, you could imagine maybe that you're doing what she does. You could imagine being a doctor. You could imagine being a president. Hasn't happened yet. You could imagine being an astronaut, and that gives more scope, more encouragement to little girls' imagination. Now, it's not all totally rosy, right? Dr. Barbie does all this dressed in pink and stiletto heels and with a completely impossible figure, but still, Barbie were so many things. Barbie had a career of her own, and that is why the Barbies in Barbie Land think, we have fixed everything. Little girls can be anything. Look at us. They don't know about the real world. So when our story begins, there Barbie is living in perfect Barbie Land, and then things start to go wrong. For one thing, she gets out of bed one day, and instead of her feet being perfectly shaped, you know, like this, to fit into high heels at all times, they're flat. They're flat. As she says, if my feet were shaped like this, I wouldn't wear high heels. You go, girl. Women around the globe cheer. And I'll pretend that I'm wearing these sneakers today because they're the only thing I have that's hot pink. Actually, it's because I have a sore toe, but it works. It works. So, So first she's got these flat feet, horrible. What is going on with that? And how are they supposed to fit into her high heels? And also she's having irrepressible thoughts of death. So she goes to their wise woman and is informed, you know, the reason that this is happening is that the person who's playing with you, the little girl who's playing with you, is having these feelings. And of course she has flat feet. And it's starting to affect you. It's starting to change you. You got to go to the real world and find her, and then you'll be able to fix this. So off Barbie goes. Turns out Ken is stowing away with her. So Barbie and Ken go into the real world, and that has quite an effect on them. She does find the person who's been having these thoughts, and Barbie comes back with a couple of humans to Barbie Land to try to make everything better. But both Barbie and Ken look around the world and realize, huh, things seem to be kind of reversed here. I mean, they see a great big billboard of all these beautiful women and they say, oh, that's the Supreme Court. Little do they know it's actually Miss Universe is coming up. They realize that men are in charge of everything. And when they go over to a construction site, it's the men who are working there, not a burst of feminine energy that Barbie was hoping for. And when they look at pictures of the presidents and the people on the money, they're all men. So this is a little disturbing to Ken. It's kind of invigorating. They have discovered patriarchy. And he decides to go back and do something about that in Barbie Land as well. So that when Barbie gets back with her new human friends to fix things in Barbie Land, she discovers a much bigger problem than she ever imagined. Ken has brought patriarchy to Barbie Land, or as he calls it, Ken-dom land. He's not very good at it, fortunately, and he's ultimately really too good-natured to make it stick. But it's pretty horrible for the Barbies at first because they just become the playthings of men. All these brilliant Nobel Prize winning and Pulitzer Prize winning and country running women are just going around pretending to be, thinking, they're not just pretending, they're thinking they're extremely ignorant and silly and helping the men with whatever they need, a brewski or whatever. Okay, so I won't tell you too much about what happens next except that, you know, it's a comedy. It's a happy ending. But we learn a lot along the way that's really relevant to who we are. And maybe we can take some credit for that, because as I believe I said on the website, Greta Gerwig, who was the director and one of the co-writers, grew up UU, not far from here, in Sacramento, had its effect. Because one thing that's really, really clear in the movie, as the kids talked about before, is that imagination is so powerful. It can change the world. It can save us. It can say, hey, you can imagine much better things than you see around you. You can change who you are. You can change the world. You can make it better for all beings. And imagination can also be something of a problem. We can imagine things that can cause problems for our life. For example, that whole matter of the women being empowered in some ways by this doll ever since it came along in the late 1950s. Well, we already saw that that kind of gives and takes away, right? And that is what Barbie discovers when she goes to the real world. She's looking for the girl who's playing with her. And when she finds this group of middle school girls, she discovers that far from greeting her as a liberator and saying, thank you, Barbie, you taught women in the real world how they could be, they despise her. They feel a lot like Barbara felt, that she's putting this image forth of who they are supposed to be that is completely impossible. Furthermore, she's a tool of this consumerist, wasteful economy of ours, this plastic doll. The last shot is that they tell her that ultimately she's fascist. She goes off to cry by herself. How can I be fascist? I don't control the railroads or the flow of commerce, but you know, they are unmoved. And I think there's a lot for us to learn there, because both of those things really are true. There's no question that even with her impossible body and her crazy high-heeled feet and her perfect attire, that Barbie in her many costumes was liberating to our culture in various ways. The astronaut Barbie came along a good 20 years before NASA considered that maybe a woman could be an astronaut. Maybe there was even a causal relationship there. Who knows? When Dr. Barbie came along, yeah, okay, she was dressed all in pink and everything, but she was healing people when the little girls who were playing with her were very, very unlikely to see a woman as a doctor in any medical office or hospital they went to. Women were about 15% tops of women, of doctors at the time. So it really was an empowering thing to see this Barbie. And then she comes to 2023, Los Angeles, and things look pretty different. What this is reminding me of is some painful conversations, painful but I hope growing conversations that I've heard among UUs. We're really proud of our history, even though we've always been a fairly white and upper class denomination. We have been really proud, and justifiably so, of our role in the abolition movement, the end of slavery in the 19th century, and then 100 years later in the civil rights movement, especially for African American civil rights. And we carry that, perhaps particularly white UUs carry that into conversations of the 2020s, when some people who are younger, some people who are people of color, some people who are watching how the world has changed has said, you know, there's some ways that this community is letting us down. There are some ways that our communities still need to change to be affirming of people of color. And that's a little bit of a shock up to the system. As with Barbie, it's a measure of how much things have changed. Barbie should still be proud. The world has changed. These 2023 middle schoolers are so impatient with her because they expect so much more for their lives, as well they should. Because they look around and they say, huh, men are still kind of mostly in charge. It hasn't changed enough yet, and we need role models that are going to carry us into the future. That's what happens when you make a difference. You get left behind if you don't keep that imagination humming. Something else that the movie really helps us with is looking at, maybe the roots of oppression is a little too strong a word for it, but where does oppression live? Where does it spring from in the hearts of the people who do the oppressing? And that's important for all of us, not only those of us who are at a given moment on the target end of that, whatever the oppression may be, the problems may be in our society, but also for us when we're on the giving side. And it's not an excuse, and in my opinion, the movie doesn't offer it as one. Some feminists' mileage may vary. But it really looks at, why are the Kens like this when they go all patriarchal? What's going on for them? And Barbie wisely observes, it's not just about how they see us, it's about how they see themselves. As I said, the Kens are rivals with each other. Kens, stereotypical Ken, the blonde Ken, the Ryan Gosling Ken, that Ken's greatest rival is another Ken, Simu Liu, who's like him, except he has really fabulous hair that sends off stars and sparks every time he goes like this, and he can do flips, okay? So there's this internal battle. And when there's an internal battle, you try to resolve it by setting up systems of domination, right? This is what's going to be on top. This is who's going to be on top. And it's useful if we want to make a change in the world to think about what change do we have to make in ourselves. That's a lot of what we do in a religious community. We think, okay, environmental devastation. There's things that need to happen on a policy level and so on. And what is going to help us to do that? Well, we're going to have to acknowledge the ways that our own lack of humility, the way our own greed and difficulty postponing gratification has led us to exploit the environment and set up powers and systems that exploit the environment. When we understand that about ourselves, then we can go and turn those systems around. And that's part of what happens with the Kens. Another thing we teach, and this relates very much to the Kens and where they play into all of this, is a bit of a paradox. We talk about the things that we want to change, about the world, about ourselves, you know? You come to a religious community partly because you want to be challenged and grow into a better person. And on the other hand, we tell ourselves that we are enough just the way we are. And both of those things are true. And I think both of those things are an important message. There's a really interesting, as well as hilarious, evolution in Ken's big number, I'm Just Ken, which I tried to get the choir to prepare for this Sunday, and they just did not take me seriously. Although Bruce tells me he's got the denim vest here somewhere, so we may yet see him in it. I grab him before he goes. I'm Just Ken, you know, you can hear those words different ways, and I think you hear them two different ways from the beginning to the end of the song. At first, he's just Ken. When Ken is introduced to us, the narrator says, Barbie has a good day every day, but Ken only has a good day when Barbie looks at him. Again, this interesting reversal of roles. In Barbie land, Ken's kind of an afterthought. He was an afterthought. He was invented by Mattel after some years of Barbie so that Barbie would have a boyfriend. Because, you know, what's a beautiful woman without a boyfriend? Well, that gives Ken a very strange status. He's just Ken. The Barbies are all these special things, and he's just Ken. So he starts out singing about that. I'm just Ken. I'm really nothing. I don't have love. I don't have this companionship. And then a war ensues within the Kens. It's a fun war, you know, they're on a beach, so don't worry. The arrows are, you know, suction arrows, and the things they throw at each other are Nerf frisbees and so on. But it's an all-out war among all the Kens. And by the end, what he realizes as he unites with all the other Kens and realizes that they don't have to fight among themselves, that being just Ken is enough. To say, I'm just me, is to say, I'm enough. I am enough the way I am. Or if you're Ken, I am Ken and I am enough and I'm great at doing stuff. So that's it. We are enough the way we are. And believe me, Ken still struggles even at the end of the movie, but he's learning. He's learning. And he has a foil in the real world, another patriarchal power who really isn't. So we get to see what it means for somebody to learn. I'm enough. I don't exist just in relationship to somebody else, and therefore I don't have to be either subservient or dominant. I'm enough. She's enough. They're enough. There's an interest in all this binary. There's an interesting sort of image of what the person left out of a male-female binary might look like. I have a whole theory about that. So if you think about other genders, I'd love to know whether you also think Alan is a sign, is the sign in this movie of people who are neither male nor female. Anyway, so how do we bring all this about is the question. You know, how do we help people to understand you're enough, you don't have to act out this battle royale within yourself and inflict it on the people around you? We can make a better world in the real world where we all have to live, where life is difficult and complicated and uncomfortable. How do we do that? Well, the movie has a formula for it. And it's one we really like, as you use, because it's really about words. It says, when you name how impossible these standards are, when you name the cognitive dissonance we're all supposed to live in, you rob it of its power. When you say, wait a minute, a man and a woman are supposed to be best friends and helpmeets for life, and also one of them is supposed to be the boss of the other because he's really better than the other one, or she's really better than the other one, if you play it that way. If you say, that's crazy, that's impossible, then it all starts to unravel, and maybe something better becomes possible, and so on. You'll have to watch the movie to see how it happens in the movie. But you can see how it happens right here in real life. If you name it when you see it.
if you say, what you're asking us to do, to love nature, but also not to see beyond today and just to use things up, you're asking us to do the impossible. If you say, you're asking us to love our neighbor, but also to tolerate this system that produces such a wealth inequality that some people are living on the streets while others have all they need and a very few have way more than anybody could spend in a lifetime, those two things don't go together. Those things and a loving society do not go together. Then things start to happen. That's what we do. We change the world with our imaginations. We say, let me get this straight. How would that actually work? Oh, and we create a new world. We've created patriarchy, and we've created Barbie, and we've created environmental devastation, and we've created gorgeous buildings, and we've created art and drawing and painting and music and weapons. We have amazing imaginations. So when we see the way things are and we name them and we say, oh, let's try this, we can change the world. I guess what we need to give our children maybe is a lot of boxes and the power to make them whatever their imaginations can tell them they are. Looking at our kids this morning, the future is in good hands.